Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle.
Hey,
so he can play football.
Coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
I despise bye week, but boy, am I praising the bye week this year. The Pittsburgh Steelers need it, and after that loss to the New England Patriots the other day, they definitely need it. It is welcome. And this is Brian Anthony Davis. I am welcoming you to Steelers Six Pack of Fact or Fiction, the show where myself and Zach Parn take a six pack of biting questions, biting facts regarding the Pittsburgh Steelers that are quite debatable, and we debate whether they are fact or whether they are fiction. And with that, I bring to you my good friend, Zach Parnes in Syracuse, New York. Hello, my friend.
Hello, Brian. And, you know, it's kind of a sordid week here in Steeler country, but I'm going to tell you, I was pretty surprised with last week. How about you?
You know what? I'm actually fine with the game, but then it gets into the game, and it's like a date. And I brought this up on the show yesterday with Jeff Hartman on the Steeler Hangover. It's like a blind date, the Patriots game was. When you're there, you have no expectations. You know it's obligatory. You're doing it because some friends set you up, and you don't expect much of anything. Then all of a sudden, things are going great. You're like, my gosh, this is awesome. I'm going to get lucky. I might have found the girl of my dream. And then the next thing you know, it's going so well until she brings up the fact that she's got a boyfriend in the next state that she's getting back together with. And you're like, I just sprang for a lobster on this girl. And so that is exactly, I was not expecting much. I got too emotionally invested in the game, and I got let down. And it reminds me of the 1990s all over again, Zach.
Brian, you've been married for how long now? How can you even bring that into play?
Well, you know what? I'm on my second marriage, so I liked it so much I did it twice. So, but, you know, I have – it's like the show The Wonder Years. You keep on thinking back of those great days of yesteryear, and you keep on thinking, there I was. Please tell me you
Well, hey,
that
whatever keeps you young at heart, but let's get into that six-pack, shall we?
We will, Zach, and before we get started, once again, the show is brought to you by Frank Walker Law, top 100-ranked trial attorneys in Frank Walker for his PA office. Call 412-212-3878, or to reach his West Virginia office, call 304-712-2089. You should also check out his website, frankwalkerlaw.com, to see how he can help you in your time of need. Frank Walker Law, real talk, real experience, real results. Now, remember, this is your show just as much as it is ours. If you want to debate these topics with us, we would love to hear from you. And that number is 347-850-8581, and we will take your calls after we finish the six of the six-pack. So that's what we're going to do, but let's get started. We are going to go ahead and get started with number one. Zach, fact or fiction, Landry Jones played with heart and passion again, but he just doesn't have the tools to be anything better than a number three QB. Is that fact or is that fiction?
You know, Brian, just hearing this question right off, there's something that strikes me as fiction. It's factual that he doesn't have the tools to be a starter, but I don't see him as a third-string quarterback anywhere. I mean, honestly, like, this guy is talented. You can't knock him for it. He keeps Pittsburgh in that game. Yes, there's a few picks here and there, but honestly, I like the type of performance that he puts up on a week-to-week basis. He's okay being the backup for my squad. I mean, obviously, he might not have exactly what is necessary to be an elite starter in this league, but I would knock him so far to number three, Brian. You can't really agree with that, can you?
Well, you know what? Yes, I can, and the reason I can is the guy does play with heart. He plays with passion. He's a guy. He's a likable quarterback. He's a likable person. But the thing is, I just don't feel like I could trust him to go in and win a game. And, you know, that game was winnable. The coaches did a very good job of making it winnable before the game. And I'm going to preface before the game because there were a lot of in-game decisions that I did not agree with from the coaching staff. And I could name a few of them, and I have since that game has ended. But, you know, I just don't think he has the arm strength of a Zach Mettenberger. I just don't think he has the poise of a number one starter, which he doesn't, and you don't expect that out of a number two. But I just don't think he's strong enough to really feel that you can trust. You can hope with Landry, but you just can't trust that he's going to get it done. Like in the past, we've had guys like Mike Tomczak, we've had Charlie Batch, and even Bruce Gradkowski were, you know, they were starters in this league. And they, I mean, Gradkowski wasn't the greatest starter, Batch wasn't the greatest starter, but you knew in a spot start, you knew that if they just followed the game plan, they were going to be perfectly fine and have every chance at winning a ball game. I just don't feel that way with Landry Jones. I want to feel that way with Landry Jones. I feel like it's just not happening, so that's why I am going to say that that is a fact.
Yeah, you know, Brian, I mean, I get where you're coming from, but I just don't see him that far down on a majority of NFL depth charts. I think that he would be a designated backup. This is a guy who's had in-game experience.
Well, you know what, it's like your one son that is a complete slacker. You love him, but you just know that he's not going to split the atom anytime soon. That's how I feel about Landry Jones. Did I throw you for a loop on that one, Zach?
I'll tell you this. Yes, you did. But also, I'm wondering if he just maybe doesn't have the confidence yet. Because I see him go out there and you see some plays and he looks like a seasoned vet. And others, he just does not seem to follow through with. So that's why I really pose that confidence question right there.
Yeah, but after year one and year two, you expect them to have the confidence. And the one thing I do like about Landry Jones is he was going after the guys, Kobe Hamilton and Darius Heyward-Bey, who he's obviously had a lot of time to throw the ball and to connect with in practices. You know, because you know he's heading up that practice squad of QBs on that other side. So you know he's had time to hook up with them. I mean, he's decent. He's just not one you can trust week in and week out, and that's why I'm saying that. I am not saying that he's a bad quarterback. I'm just saying that with Ben Roethlisberger, you can only count on three quarters of a season these days, Zach. And as he gets later on in his career, you're hoping for 12 games out of him. The other four, you can't go 1-3 and 0-4 in those other games because Ben's not going to win every single game either. So it's just a situation where it needs addressed in 2017, whether it's a very capable, a former starter in the league like a Ryan Fitzpatrick who will be there next year. I mean, he's not going to win you a Super Bowl on his own, but he's going to keep you in games and he's going to win games as a spot starter. Or whether it's you're drafting as high as a number two, and we discussed that a lot last week. Well, with that being said, we do want to speak about Ben Roethlisberger and what his absence means to the team, so we go to number two. Zach, if Ben Roethlisberger's absence is felt most on offense, which it is, Ryan Shazier's presence is most critical on the defensive side of the ball. Is that fact or fiction?
Fact on this one for me, Brian. You said last week that you thought it might have been Bud Dupree, that he has been missed the most, but I am still going to remain steadfast and true that it's Shazier. The guy has embodied Steeler football from the time he walked over from Ohio State to Pittsburgh. I really miss him just from the perspective of his ability to cover the pass over the middle with the zone, not just his rushing, because I think that's an area that the Steelers definitely need a little bit of help with right now. It's a very, very stern fact for me.
It is a very stern fiction for me, Zach. And believe it or not, right college, wrong guy. The right guy is Cam Hayward. And it was so glaring the other day with the way that team ran all over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, here's the thing. When you have LeGarrette Blount on the other side of the ball, he is a power running back. He looked like Barry Sanders out there because he was not being touched. This guy is always breaking tackles, Zach, like crazy. He didn't have to break any tackles. He was just running through major holes. That line blew the Pittsburgh Steelers' defensive front off of the line of scrimmage, and that's why he had such an amazing day. If Cam Hayward's in there, that's a different story. Now, Cam Hayward is a leader on the team. He's a very vocal leader. I like the fact that both Shazier and Hayward came out and talked about how bad the defense was. Shazier even came out and called their defense right now garbage, and he was on the field, and he was a part of it. So, you know what? I appreciate the fact that they're being critical of themselves, that they're trying to fix it. But the captain on that defense, just as important as a Ben Roethlisberger is to the offense, is bar none Cameron Hayward. That's why he got the big money. That's why he is still the team leader in sacks, and he's missed two games. He is the guy that drives that defense, and it's more glaring when he's gone. When Shazier, as much as I love him, when he is gone, there's guys that can fill in. Not as great as he is, but there's guys that fill in. But when Hayward's gone, he's missing, and you're missing him like crazy, Zach.
Yeah, you know, I understand the Cam Hayward argument, especially after that Miami game where Jay Ajayi runs all over the Steelers. I mean, that was just inexcusable to have a guy like him run all over the place, although right now he's kind of padding some stat sheets no matter where he's going. I will say this.
I mean,
though,
he did it against Buffalo, Steelers, too, so you got to get – I mean, he might be better
absolutely
than we knew.
Sure, sure. But I will say this as well. I am a very firm believer right now that when Shazier comes back, this team will start a winning streak. And hey, I hope that, you know, Hayward can come back soon as well. But I think that Shazier is a huge X factor.
Well, right now we are looking at the possibility of Ben Roethlisberger, of Cam Hayward, definitely having Shazier back. Marcus Gilbert, it looks like those guys are slated to be back for the Baltimore game, are the big rumors. They're saying that Ben's looking good right now, but it just depends on how his rehab goes. But it looks like Hayward is definitely going to be back, barring any setback, and the same for Marcus Gilbert. And some of those other guys, too, I'm sure that the Sammy Coates situation should be so much better at that point. And we actually might even have an appearance by the enigma that is Ladarius Green. But with that being said, I want to talk about a guy that is not on the roster of 53 right now, Zach, and it's Carlos Williams. So number three, the time is now to move Carlos Williams from the practice squad to the roster of 53. Is it fact or is it fiction?
You know, I'm going to go with fact on this one. I think nothing can hurt, especially with some vacancies right now in the roster as far as guys who are injured. You might as well bring the guy up, see what he can contribute to everything. I don't think it's necessarily a good or a bad move either way. You know, obviously this team is going to do it what they want to do at the end of the day, but why not give him the shot to try to show him, to show you what he's got?
Well, you know what, with all the injuries to the wide receivers, I was surprised that he was not brought up, especially with the fact that D'Angelo Williams was out too. So I thought that was a good spot to go ahead and put in a guy like Carlos Williams, who he's a young guy. He's a bruiser. I mean, the guy's only 23 years old. he could play. He had 9 games last year, had 513 yards and 7 touchdowns. The guys on the team, because of his brother, because most of guys like that go straight to a 53-man roster, but he's here for a reason. He's had troubles, but he's here to join his brother, be in a good environment, be on a winning team. And I think this guy's just itching to contribute. I like everything that he has been saying, especially when he was signed. With D'Angelo gone, Carlos, really, I think it's a no-brainer to go ahead, give him a shot, see what he can do. Maybe he can spell Le'Veon Bell here and there. But he's definitely a weapon that they can go ahead and add, and I'd like to see him up. So I think it's a fact, too. That's something we definitely will agree on, Zach.
Could we agree, though, that D'Angelo Williams might be, and I don't want to veer too much, but D'Angelo Williams might be one of the more underrated Steeler injuries this year thus far?
Yeah, you know, he is, and that sort of came out of nowhere for both of us. I was pretty surprised to see him on the injured list, and, you know, having D'Angelo is a big deal, but the problem I have right now with D'Angelo is that he's, and we talked about this, we didn't think he was going to be a forgotten man, but he's starting to become a forgotten man there, and he's not getting the carries that I thought he was going to be getting. But when you have a guy as amazing as Le'Veon Bell, I guess that's going to happen. I mean, that's what pushed a guy like LeGarrette Blount out of town 2 years ago. I don't see the same thing with D'Angelo. D'Angelo is just a patient guy. He's a good guy, and he knows he's going to go ahead and get his chance. But I can see him getting a little restless, and wondering why they're not designing plays for him to go ahead and use him as an extra weapon. When he's healthy, I expect him to – I mean, he is the number two back. I'm not saying replace him at all, but I'm saying this is a perfect opportunity to go ahead and give Carlos Williams a chance. But D'Angelo Williams just confused the heck out of me. D'Angelo is still very valuable to that team. We just need Todd and Mike and the whole gang to figure out how to use him and make him viable for that team. Well, with that being said, Zach, we are at the halfway point. The six-pack is half empty. We're draining it quick, and we're draining it well, and we want to hear from you. After the next three, it's 347-850-8581. We are going to be back with number four right after these messages from our friends at Frank Walker Law.
Smart or stupid? Those strobing lights in your rear view? That flashlight shining in your face?
License, registration, and insurance, please.
The little adventure you're about to have with this guy?
I'll need you to step out of the vehicle, please.
Okay, so you've done something stupid. Fix it with a smart move.
For DUI or criminal defense, call Frank Walker of frankwalkerlaw.com. He knows his way around a courtroom. 412-532-6805. 412-532-6805 or frankwalkerlaw.com.
Zach, tell me three things about Frank Walker real quick.
Three things about Frank Walker that you need to – what's that?
They're all real. Real talk?
They're all
real.
Real talk. Real experience. And I'm blanking on the third because I'm not looking at the ad.
Real result. That's what you get with
real
Frank
results.
Walker. See? You know – you need to pay attention to these things, Zachy boy. You might be in a situation where, like the ad says, you've done something stupid. You might need to give Frank a call. So remember that number. In fact, I want you to write it down in Sharpie because I know you college boys.
Yeah, you know, I got to be a little bit careful up here, but I'm hoping Frank will make the trip to upstate New York.
Oh, I'm sure he would if you tell him who you are. So let's move on with the six-pack. And once again, we do want to hear from you, so feel free to call in. But let's go to number four, and we're still on the Patriots game. And this is something easy, and this is if, and we don't want to get into ifs and buts and candy and nuts and all that stuff. But you think about this because we might see them again. So number four, Zach, both teams at full strength in a playoff scenario. The Patriots still beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is that fact or fiction?
You know, I would have to go with fact on this one. I think right now the way that you look at this New England roster. They are the best team in the AFC. Very unfortunate, but that is unfortunately how it goes right now. I mean, can you say otherwise with this roster? You know, I think that the Patriots look a little bit better than the Steelers.
Okay, Zach, I'm disagreeing with you, obviously, and this was one of my trap questions, my trap facts that I always like to put in there. Look, they could have beaten this team with Landry Jones and by making a lot of mistakes, and they still were in that ball game until the fourth quarter. Now, with that being said, the Patriots did not unleash Gronk, who is Steeler kryptonite, until the second half, and when they did, he just blew them off the ball too. But with a healthy Ben Roethlisberger in there, with a healthy Cam Hayward, with a healthy Ryan Shazier, with a full complement of wide receivers, look, at the end of that game, you only had two healthy wide receivers, and I think if I said at the beginning of the year that during the New England game, your healthiest receivers at the end of that game were going to be Kobe Hamilton and Darius Hayward-Bay, you're going to say, oh, we're screwed on this one. I guarantee you would have said that. I would have said that. But they didn't have a full complement of receivers, and they still were in that game. Something that we complain about Mike Tomlin all the time, the fact that he plays down to his competition, but on the other side of that coin, he plays up to great competition. They're always prepared, and they were definitely prepared for that game. Like I said, at the beginning of the game, they were very prepared. I just think that in a playoff situation, I don't even care if it's in Foxborough. If this team is 100% healthy, I think they can go ahead and beat a team like the New England Patriots, just like I think a healthy 2015 Pittsburgh Steelers team could have won the entire Super Bowl last year, but it just wasn't meant to be because of accidents and health. And when I say accidents, I'm just saying dirty play by the Cincinnati Bengals. But with that being said, yeah, I think the Steeler team could go ahead and beat the New England Patriots if it's apples to apples, Zach.
Brian, I'll tell you this. I really hope you're right, because I would love to see this team take down New England come postseason. But I think given right now what we've seen, you've got to be a little bit of a realist.
Oh, I mean, I think as much as I hate the Patriots, I think Bill Belichick is every bit of Lombardi, but even more. I think he's the greatest coach that I have ever seen in my lifetime, and I really can't dispute that. I don't. You could bring up Spygate, you can bring up Deflategate, you could bring up Hoodgate. I'm sure there's going to be a Hoodiegate one of these days. But I mean, the bottom line to it, the guy knows how to win and knows how to win with less of a roster. And this roster is not as strong as anything he's had in the past. In fact, it's one of his weaker teams, and he just continues to do it year in and year out. I think he's absolutely amazing. I think he's a complete prick, but I think he's absolutely amazing, and he's one of the greatest coaches I've ever seen. I think if and I'm going to be honest, and this is not going to go over too well, but if you swapped rosters, this Pittsburgh Steelers team with Bill Belichick as head coach would, even with the team that was on the field the other day, would have probably won that game. That's how amazing I think that coach is, head and shoulders over every single coach in the league. But I know that's not going to be very popular, but, you know, it's just how I feel about how great he is, how great that team is. But he can be beaten with a team that could really step up. And I think Ben Roethlisberger, and I think this team is still a team of destiny, and if they get healthy, they're going to be dangerous once again. And we're actually going to be talking about that in our number six. So I'm going to move it up. I'm going to move up number six, Zach. And I'm going to say at 4-3 with 9 games to play, there's a very little, if any, margin for error from this point on to achieve a first-round bye in the playoffs. Is that fact or fiction?
Fact, if you want the first round bye, you've got to be winning 4 games or fewer. So, yes, you can only concede 1 loss in these next 8. Do I think the Steelers need that first round bye? No. Is it helpful? Absolutely. You can ask any team in the league right now, and they will tell you that they want that first-round bye, probably more than anything. To have a week off, to regenerate, take some time for yourself and focus in on your opponent, that is huge. Now, I don't think that the Steelers are going to get that first-round bye, but I do think they'll win the division. I think they'll be 11-5. They're going to end up losing a few more. But I really see some good things here coming from the Steelers.
You know, and I can't argue with anything that you say, but when you say a few more, that's only two, because, yeah, the margin of error is very low because, you know, in nine games, you have to be 7-2, at the very worst 6-3, because 9-7 is not going to get you in the playoffs. I really, the only way 9-7 is going to get you in the playoffs is going to be as a division winner. You want that bye. Yeah, you're right. You don't really need it, because we have seen teams succeed. Our very own team of 11 years ago, a number six seed, went in and ran through the playoffs and won the Super Bowl. Also a six seed with because of an injury to Aaron Rodgers, got him healthy, got him back, and went in and rolled through the playoffs, rolled through the Super Bowl, and beat our very own Pittsburgh Steelers. So we have had firsthand experience with six seeds twice, one for and one against, but it's very possible to go ahead and win on the road in the Super Bowl, so, and win the entire Super Bowl. So, you know, the playoffs are a funny thing. It's the hot team that goes ahead and wins, and sometimes you don't need to have that number one seed. And if I'm not mistaken, the number one seed last year was the New England Patriots, and they did not win the Super Bowl. They did not make the Super Bowl. So I agree with everything you say. There's no need for me to even go on. So let's go to number six, Zach. And it's about one of our newest Steelers from this year and one we were all excited about. And I could actually say that there has been, even though he hasn't burned it up, but I think we're pretty happy with the acquisition of Justin Gilbert right now. And so I'm going to say, for number five, fact or fiction, Justin Gilbert should be able to be the long-term, answer when it comes to kick returning duties. Is that fact or fiction?
You know, I'm going to say fact here on this one. I think we've seen some swagger out of him when he takes kicks back. By the way, Brian, I think this is number six, if I am correct, because we just moved number six up. But I do want to say that I think that Gilbert has this tremendous amount of swagger when he brings a kick back, and you kind of see it from him. And I think as he begins to learn that position a little bit better, obviously he's been designated as a corner the majority of his life, but now he's got this opportunity to really shine through. And I think that he can do it, and I think he's crafty with it. I'm really looking forward to seeing him actually get into the end zone for the Steelers.
You know, and I think he's going to. He actually broke one last year for Cleveland. So he's getting more and more experience, and I like how you say swagger. It looks like he has the potential to break one now, and I'm sure he's going to break one. I really love the spark that he's brought to it. You know, I like Fritz Toussaint, and I noticed that as Gilbert has been getting better, Fritz Toussaint has actually had his best return day against the Patriots the other day too. So they both look half decent. Actually, they both looked above average and pretty darn good as far as kick returners go. And I'll even go as far, if Gilbert can be that spark, why not if Eli Rogers is not healthy and he really didn't do much as a punt returner, why not experiment with him at punt return also? I mean, that could be a possibility, because I had a friend that was over at my house the other day who's not a Steelers fan, but he likes to come and watch the games, and his exact words were, "I'm not a Steeler fan, but I don't understand why you have your best player returning punts." You know, we know the answer. We know why he's there, because he's the best spark to return one, Antonio Brown. But you're also risking an injury and risking your season to have a guy like that go down too. So maybe Justin Gilbert could be the entire return man, the entire return game answer for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2016 and beyond. So I think we both agree that that's a fact. And I think we could also both agree that so far, that's been a very positive trade for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, the Antonio Brown taking punts back has always baffled me, but, you know, we know that he can, like you said, provide that spark plug, but at the same time, it's a huge injury risk for him. So if someone like
Trevor
can step into that role, I think everything is good, you know?
Yeah, and that would be ideal, because that would be ideal for everybody. Maybe not for Antonio, who wants to be around everything. I get that. When you're a gamer like he is, you do want to be around everything. So we'll just see, but I like what we see right now in Justin Gilbert. I think year number two for him in Pittsburgh next year is going to be amazing when he's had a full off season with the team. I think he's contributed very well for only being with a squad, about 7 weeks? So I'm very happy with him. That's the six-pack already. We've blown through it. We should be if that was a real six-pack, I'd be passed out on the floor right now. But luckily, it's just verbal. But we do have the bonus that we have, as always, Zach, and we don't have any callers. So I'm going to ask one more time, feel free to give us a call. We'd love to hear what you think of the six-pack and to see if we are completely on base or completely off. So go ahead and give us a call, 347-850-8581. So with that being said, the bonus, and this once again is the fact that has really nothing to do with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but is still fun to talk about anyways. We are going to debate this week the bye week. And when you have a bye week, you have vacation time. So with that being said, with the upcoming bye week, the Steelers get a much needed vacation. The best vacation themed / time off / road trip movie is Ferris Bueller's Day Off from 1986, the John Hughes classic. Zach, is that fact or is that fiction?
I'm going to go with something older. Would you believe that, Brian? I'm going to go with a different vacation movie.
When it comes to this stuff, you're always going to go bold.
Yeah, well, this is something that I think is really going to be an interesting little selection, but you got to hear me out here. My pick for best vacation film, and if you remember, Tippi Hedren takes a vacation for this, is The Birds by Alfred Hitchcock. I am a big The Birds fan, and I'm very much into that movie. And if you remember, she starts by visiting her estranged man who is on vacation. And that is, for me, one of the greatest vacation films ever. Probably not the best vacation, though.
Okay, I could have guessed 1,000 movies, and actually, I could have guessed 1,000,000 movies if I would have the time. I would have never come up with The Birds. I'm not speechless very often, but okay, I thought you were just going to throw out the obligatory Chevy Chase and National Lampoon's Vacation, which is probably what I was going to do. Now I feel just uncultured when you're bringing up Hitchcock and The Birds. Wow, I didn't even realize that could be considered a vacation film. I mean, when I think of a vacation film, I think of like Ice Cube and a bunch of kids in a station wagon saying, "Are we there yet?" I consider antics like Robin Williams in an RV. But wow, The Birds, I don't even know what to do with that.
I'll tell you.
Okay,
this, though, if you're a fan of any Hitchcock film, though, it's definitely the most polarizing, I believe.
That's like saying, Zach. That's like saying, since she was in a car, then Psycho was a vacation film too, and that's an even worse vacation. You can
yeah, that one.
Shower.
At least Tippi Hedren makes it out alive in Bodega Bay.
Who am I talking about? Janet Leigh in Psycho?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. 1960 classic. Like, okay, gosh, I mean, this completely went way off base of what I was thinking, because I thought we were going to talk about Clark Griswold eating a sandwich that's just been soiled by a dog at a campsite while he's watching Christie Brinkley in a convertible. But, wow. Okay, With that being said, I can't even – I have no rebuttal left. Well, you just won the night. I'm just going to give it to you because you just like – I can't scratch my head any harder than I just did because I'm going to lose hair. That is the
All
most
right, so,
bizarre –
I'll say this then, Brian. It's not a true vacation film. I understand what you're saying. But it does have vacation qualities, does it not?
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, like, Ferris Bueller's Day Off isn't a true vacation film, but it's a guy taking a day off. So that's why I put, you know, slash vacation film, slash road trip. And then you just completely, wow, you just went the other way. I just, okay.
I'm also a big fan of Dirty Dancing. Does that qualify as a vacation film?
That's a vacation movie, and you and my wife loves Dirty Dancing, too. There's a place in Virginia. You can actually visit, Zach, the resort. There's a big package. You can go for a week. It's very expensive, but you can go to the resort in Virginia. Where they stayed. I don't know the name of it because I don't know the movie as well as you and my wife, but you could actually go there.
I'll have to make a trip, especially if I'm talking about the backwoods.
What's that?
I said I'll have to make a trip out of it, seeing as I'm talking about it on the show.
There you go. Maybe we can get it sponsored. With that being said, I would love to explore your love for the birds and Dirty Dancing, and I think that's a whole other show. We're going to actually have to do that. What's your favorite scene from Dirty Dancing? I have to ask now.
What the question again? What's my what?
What's your favorite scene from Dirty Dancing, if you like it that much?
Oh, my goodness. Well, how do you hate on Nobody Puts Baby in a Corner?
I knew that was coming.
Listen, it's a basic
show.
It's a basic
show. Nobody puts Zach in a corner.
It's absolutely fantastic.
Oh, gosh. You know, with that being said, I just have to shut this down. It's been a great Factor Fiction, folks. Thanks so much for joining us. Remember, once again, brought to you by Frank Walker Law. Real talk, real results. Zach, thank you so much. It was great talking to you this week. Remember, Zach, even though it's the bye week, everything you need Steelers is going to be on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. There's so much stuff. We still have our contributor picks, which Zach and I are actually tied in the middle of the pack right now, and we need a big week. So I'm going to have to talk to you about this. We need to pull something out of the hat and try to gain, because we're about 7-8 games back at this point. We need to make our move this week. But plenty of great stuff on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Make sure you continue to check it out daily. There's always fantastic things popping up. Everything you want to know about the Pittsburgh Steelers, it is on there. With that being said, Zach, have a great week, my friend.
Thank you, Brian. It's fantastic to be on the show again. And that's no joke, folks. You got to tune in to BTSC. Thanks, Brian.
You're welcome. And remember, no Factor Fiction next week because of the bye week. And we will be back here in 2 weeks. So for Zach Parnes, I'm Brian Anthony Davis. This is Steelers Six Pack of Factor Fiction. And once again, nobody puts Zachy in a corner. And that's a fact, Jack.